This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Monday, December 19th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. What a weekend.
Oh, man.
Top to bottom. Saturday football. Jeff's Saturday football.
Oh, brother.
World Cup. Sunday playoff football.
This was,
that would be the fantasy playoffs,
one of the greatest weekends of sports that I can ever remember. The amount of, I mean, the six afternoon games yesterday, down to the wire. All of them one score games late into the fourth quarter. You had the World Cup craziness. You
multiple had overtime in the morning.
The Saturday games, the greatest NFL comeback of all time, 33-0 Saturday collapse. It's just amazing.
It was a lot of fun. It was a weekend of great consequence for fantasy players. I know it didn't work out for everybody, unless you had a bye week, and it worked out really well for you.
Yeah, congratulations.
If you had a bye week, you avoided such things like Jerick McKinnon against you.
Or Jonathan Taylor for you.
Or maybe you avoided Zay Jones against you. it was just a fun weekend, and I know, like, some people you went out, and some people went out swinging, like Mike did. Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of swinging.
Sort of swinging, and...
Or look, sort of just demolished by a bigger, stronger,
yeah,
faster...
I ran into a buzzsaw in League of Record, but I'm looking at this as just, I get to reassess my priorities of my life, like... What's my most important league?
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
right.
I was trapped last week. I thought it was the League of Record, but I was so wrong.
Dead wrong.
Yeah, just incredibly wrong about the priorities of which league I like the best.
Yeah, because you you don't have a chance to defend your title this year,
right?
In that league, but in Dino Junior,
totally.
So I assume. Based on recent events, full house remodel completed this weekend? Top to bottom, every room?
The house is gone.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's just...
Demo is finished.
It's just a pit.
Right.
There's a pit with a bottle of Jack Daniels in the middle of it, just sitting there. Empty, of course.
Oh, there's some empties. I got the recycling guys coming by later.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna make
5 cents a bottle. Yeah. You got some cash coming.
But now you got a new most important league, which is all that's. It seems like Dino Jr. is really existing to be that for you guys each year when you need it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone needs a safety net.
That's smart. That's smart. Let's react as we always do. Get sophisticated with your pun submissions on Twitter. Someone want to? I'll kick it off.
Go ahead.
How about Jarek McWinnen?
Are you talking about Jarek McCaffrey?
Yes.
Or the Myers remorse?
Yes. A lot of unhappy people with Jacoby yesterday. Ramondre Stevenson came back from injury.
Oh no! The muth hath guth.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
Bat Friar poop. But yeah. I like yours better.
Zonovan. Night, night.
Oh, go to sleep, little baby. Oh, Darren, welcome back.
That's pretty good.
How about Crazy Jones?
Or how about Rashad? Why?
Oh, Nonathan Taylor.
OA Classic is back. Raheem must start.
And for those of you with Mark Andrews, Tyler Stunkley.
Or Greg Dahl Zilch.
Aww.
Or the way we kicked off the weekend, Jeff Shatterday.
Well, that worked out. That one was only going to be read by Mike. Feeling good?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
You had a really nice run with that game because you predicted
it was my almost,
Colts to win.
It was my almost upset.
Yeah, that was your almost upset, and they just came out and dominated. 33-0, they're up, they're winning in all three phases. But you also think that that Jeff Saturday is a sham and should not be head coach, and then he manufactured, or he just led. Let's say he led, because he's the leader of the men there. The greatest collapse in NFL history.
And the only way to give up a 33-0 lead is to hand your playbook and every play call for the remainder of the game to the opposing team. And I feel like that's what happened, right? It was like...
It was very impressive.
No matter what. Like, Matt Ryan has a gift. Matt Ryan has a gift.
Aww.
And...
That's too soon.
Yeah, it's a shame because he tries so hard.
Yeah.
But 33-0. That was one... like, my son was watching that game with me. I'm like, you're always going to remember that. Like, if this happens, that was an all-timer. Now, you know the ironic thing of that game. Is that the greatest comeback of all time? If you remember, Buffalo coming back against the Oilers, Frank Reich was the quarterback.
Frank Reich was the QB?
Yeah. Oh,
I did not realize that.
He just had his greatest comeback of all time broken by his replacement, Jeff Saturday.
Oh, man.
On a Saturday.
Oh, baby.
To Kirk Cousins. So Frank Reich no longer has a job or a record.
Yeah, you want to know how you lose a game you're up 33-0 in? You give 25 opportunities to Zach Moss. I mean, just come on. Every time you handed the ball to him, that dude sucks.
Who was the fumble? It was Deion Jackson, right? I think that led to it a little bit. But yeah, it was
It takes a village.
It takes a village to blow a game.
It was a real team effort, but hey, Colts covered.
Well done, Mike. Well done. And amazingly, in the lowest yards per catch of, I think, his career in a game, Michael Pittman.
You're done right.
Pity City.
PPR machine, baby.
10 catches for all of.
Where did we go?
We built this city.
60 yards.
We built this city.
Brick by brick.
Low walls. Low walls.
Just pony walls everywhere.
Which, unbelievable game. So fun to watch. Yeah. Lots of big games yesterday. We're going to break down the studs and duds on today's show after we get into the news.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
Man, you're pumped for this news.
I had a good weekend.
You had a really big one.
I had a big, big weekend. It's been a rough year at times, especially the Monday night situations. But, no, I had a good, good weekend where all the players, it was a dream for our Dynasty League. Everybody scored, some of them multiple times. won the Wheel of Shame.
Yeah, you're the champ this week. And you were upset last week that you didn't get the bye in that Dynasty League. Yes. And it turns out you did have a bye because your team went nuclear.
Yeah, no, I've never had a week where that many players. Like, I benched Ramondre after my first four players scored 120 points. And I just was like, let's just be safe.
Yep.
But no, they had a good weekend, won the Wheel of Shame, which shouldn't be this much of an accomplishment, really. But no, I'm pumped. This is big time news to talk about, too. You're going to have to make some arrangements. If you have Jonathan Taylor, who has been diagnosed with a high ankle sprain and is highly unlikely to return this season.
This was brutal. This is as bad as it gets. This was the number two running back on the week by consensus ranking. So everybody thought big opportunity, big game, first week of the playoffs, first touch for him, and he looks great, breaks off a nice run down the left. And then re-aggravates the same ankle injury. And so you had him in your lineup. He's in 100%. He's 100% started. And he basically goosed everyone outside of that one touch. And, man, brutal. Now you've lost him for the rest of the playoffs if you were able to overcome his actual injury. Or congratulations for those of you that had to play against the scary Jonathan Taylor and did not have any points put up by them.
And now you don't have a clear backup situation due to the abundance of Zach Moss carries, Deion Jackson.
I have a clear path. I'd rather be dead than put Zach Moss on my playoff roster.
I think in light of this Jonathan Taylor injury, which is the second of the year for him, I'm going to improv something here.
Oh.
I want to play a game.
This is unexpected.
Yes, you don't know what's coming.
Are you?
I just
do you
noticed
know what's going on, Jason.
I do not, but I love playing games.
I just noticed that this is the time of year where people are reflecting on draft picks a little bit on Twitter. So I'm going to read you the top 10 picks, and I want you to reply with
top 10 of this year.
The top 10 picks of this year, and I want you to reply with a sound of some sort.
Okay. All right,
some sort of reaction to them.
Okay. All right.
The number one pick, this is ADP, right, in PPR league. You want half PPR? I guess I should switch to half PPR. Okay.
Okay.
Jonathan Taylor.
Ow!
Okay.
Yeah,
very
that's
nice.
Fair. That's fair.
Number two, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, you go with a ka-ching on that
one. Okay, ka-ching. Number three, Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
Nice. This is what I was hoping for. Number four, Derrick Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Thank you. Number five, Cooper Kupp.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Okay. That's it. All right. That's the one.
Number six, Justin Jefferson. Yeah, that's fair. Number seven, Dalvin Cook. Okay. All right. Number eight, Najee Harris. Okay. All right. That was the end of season. Number nine, Jamar Chase. Maybe
I'm going with that. That's my sound. Okay. I wasn't thinking. That was the sound.
And then let's round it out with, I saw a lot of tweets about this fella. Number 10, Joe Mixon.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
Ugh. Because you had.
That's been the consensus. Wow.
You've had flashes of dominance, which shows why he was drafted where he was.
He really consolidated into that one
week. Yeah, I say he had
the
flash.
One week against me.
Yeah, but I mean, he is, for his opportunities, you know, at the beginning of the year, we were talking about how great his opportunities were and that the fantasy production was going to come. And then it did in that game. And then it was kind of back to just ho-hum.
And I think there is, at least for me, it's compounded a bit by when he was out. Samaje Perine was freaking awesome. Like, it's so you can't be saying, well, the scheme is broken with the offensive. Like, the backup running back was sensational for fantasy purposes. And then Joe Mixon came back, and you're like, okay, here we are again.
Breaking news.
What?
Might as well get this right here on the show, Jason. Do not look down.
Okay.
This news is going to come straight from me to you. Have you already seen it?
I have no idea.
Man, what today is just full of surprises.
I know. This is from
Matt
Miller on at NFL Draft Scout. Texas running back. Bijan Robinson.
He's declared, right?
Announced that he will not enter the 2023 NFL Draft.
Are you serious? He's going back to school?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
He declared he's going to go into the draft.
Literally.
I couldn't help myself.
My heart stopped all the beating part. I was about to die. I just was suspended.
If you could watch Jason here, he was in suspended animation.
Oh, my gosh. I really believed you.
I know. I couldn't help it.
I didn't know what to do.
I was just going to break the good news, and then I saw how excited you were.
Oh, so he is declaring for the NFL
draft. He has declared that he will enter the 2023 NFL draft.
Sanity prevails.
Those that are not following along, Bijan Robinson, the number one running back prospect coming out of Texas, an elite prospect. Not sure where he'll go in the draft because you don't generally see these Saquon
McCaffrey,
level,
Fournette.
But he'll be the number one running back off the board.
He feels
special.
He feels like a first rounder.
By the way, getting back to congratulations, you might as well go for the ride.
I appreciate it. In hindsight, knowing that the conclusion of the ride was fun, I'm happy to have a nice loop-de-loop in there.
Al, you thought I read the tweet wrong?
Yeah, you sold it well enough that I thought you were misreading the tweet.
Yeah, so... By the way, getting back to Joe Mixon, this is why, like, some of you, if you got knocked out or you're out of a couple leagues and you're still tuning in, you're going to benefit from staying in tune with the fantasy community and the fantasy world. One of the things we do at the end of the year is we kind of, you know, tell you the truth about certain players. Joe Mixon's end of year result is going to feel better than having him on your roster.
For sure.
He's the number 11 running back right now. So, and that's number 11 with missing two games, right? So from a points per game standpoint, you're still going to think he's better, but 30% of his fantasy points came in week 9. So the truth about players and what they did to get you to the playoffs or not, we will be highlighting that with all of these names in the heading into the offseason. All right. Cardinals lost another quarterback.
Yeah.
But they now have the number 4 pick in the draft, gentlemen. So.
Oh, that's great. Also, they don't have a quarterback behind the quarterback that they lost because Trace McSorley should never have been drafted in the NFL.
Was he drafted?
I believe he was. Oh, maybe he was an unrestricted free agent.
I don't remember.
I just remember scouting his weapons and thinking, man, this is a bad college quarterback. And then that guy went to the NFL, which was crazy.
Drafted by the Baltimore Ravens in the 6th round of the 2019 draft. And we were McSorley sorry that we put him into the lineup yesterday.
So I was doing some math here while you were talking about Joe Mixon, who's averaging 15 fantasy points a game. If you take that 1 week out, he's down to 11 fantasy points a game. Like that,
right?
It's not been good.
And if he was drafted as a running back too, you'd be fine.
Right.
But he was drafted in the first round.
Just real quick, then
I think running back 5 off the board
on McSorley. I mean, if you survive this week and you have Cardinals on your team, that's going to be pretty tough.
McCoy doesn't come back,
yeah, it's a concussion for Colt McCoy. So who knows? Because I've had some guys, we've seen some guys come back the week. We've seen multiple weeks missed. So I have no idea what's going to happen with Colt. But McSorley is not—he's not even a backup.
The emotional roller coaster of the weekend was compounded by players that exited and then returned to play after injury. That included Ryan Tannehill, Justin Fields, Zonovan Knight, Travis Etienne, Austin Eckler, and Justin Jefferson. All of them leaving the field due to injury at one point and then coming back out onto the field.
Zonovan came back? I don't remember him coming back.
He came back at one point.
Okay. Came back for nothing?
Yeah, and then he did nothing.
Yeah.
So Monday Night Football tonight, we've got the Packers and then Baker Mayfield's team. And, you know, I know there are decisions to be made for this evening. We did have one bit of news on Romeo Doubs, just that he basically said, you don't expect a full complement of snaps for Romeo Doubs. So be careful. We haven't even seen him with Christian Watson and with Randall Cobb. Not that he can't make his entire day with one play, but like, Mike, would you play Tutu at will?
Yes.
9 targets, 5 catches, or would you play Romeo Doubs?
I would play the player who's trending up, not the player freshly off of injury.
All right, that was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. We're going to take a quick break, and come back with the studs.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Auto Insurance. When it comes to auto insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. With USAA, you get award-winning service that's easy and reliable with 24/7 online claims. For our military community, it's the service that goes above and beyond at a great value. Get a quote at usaa.com/auto. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. Not a quick bake. We don't want a quick bake, Al.
Going to put together an egg bake for Christmas.
Quick bake is more Martavis Bryant territory. All right, let's move on.
Studs of the Week, presented by Madewell.
I see Jason's fingers furiously working over there. Is that, that's not Bijan Robinson wallpaper for your computer?
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm putting him in
high-res photos.
Currently photoshopping him into all uniforms so that I'm prepared for wherever he goes.
Very smart. You're talented. All right, studs. Joshua Allen, you beautiful, beautiful, beautiful man.
There is nothing better than when the best players just do what you know they should do and can do. And, you know, you get to the playoffs on Josh Allen. Or Jalen Hurts, excellent. Mahomes, like, great play, you know.
Yeah. And
great
then they
players
like,
should be great.
And then they, like, use their number one weapon and, like, bring them along for the ride.
There's a Stephon Diggs moment, right?
Yeah. Four passing touchdowns for Josh Allen?
You betcha.
None of them mattered. If you had Josh Allen, they all mattered.
He was knocking out. Big week for Dawson Knox.
It's cool.
Josh Allen. Next week against Chicago, I'm excited.
Sure.
That should be a fun, fun game. Justin Fields continues to make opposing quarterbacks do stuff. Speaking of which, Jalen Hurts, 22 for 37 for 315, had three
game.
Rushing touchdowns.
It's monster.
Didn't throw any. Had two picks to start the game. Looked a little shaky, but at one point I turned to Jason and I said, yeah, he'll figure it out, won't he?
Yeah.
And he said yes.
Yeah, there was, after those quick two interceptions and he was in your DraftKings lineup, you were like, of course it's bad. And we knew he'd get it together. He is currently the quarterback one on the season.
Yeah.
Ahead of Josh Allen, ahead of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and rolling back to that Buffalo game, that's true. The weather was something people were following right up to kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
At some point during that game, well, the snowballs were ridiculous, first of all. And so people were throwing snowballs. But when it started to, like, the game was pretty clear. Like, it was nice. They were able to play this game. But in the fourth, it started snowing. And I couldn't help think to myself, like, should all these fans just spend the night? Like, it was like, I didn't want to think about them trying to get home.
Oh,
after that game with that much snow, just seemed like a terrifying prospect.
I mean, you mush.
Yeah, right? You got a snowmobile. I'm sure that's how they got there.
Mush, that's the dog sleds.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't. That's not what
they're
doing. Is
that what they do in Buffalo? Everyone has their own, like.
My view of anything in the North is everyone has a full fleet of dogs at any moment.
A fleet is what they call it. Yeah. A group of dogs.
Yeah, a group of dogs, a fleet.
Yeah.
And they can get where they need to go.
Some people, I'm sure, have wolves. Fewer. But, you know, that's.
It's the North.
Right, exactly.
Or you get your cross-country skis on.
I felt like we might have come to a bit of an agreement on the dome situation, though, on Twitter, Jason.
Did we?
I thought so.
Okay, what was it?
Because I've been on, like, you know, Team Snow.
Yes.
But then you were kind of on, like, Team Dome.
Right, yeah.
But then, like, I think I'm on Team Dome for things other than snow.
Yeah, the
which is where roof
yes,
comes
I'm on
into
Team Retractable Dome. I love outside games are obviously better, but if there's terrible weather that affects football, and this was not that. Like, this was cold, but it wasn't windy.
Right.
It wasn't, the weather wasn't actually bad. We were afraid that it was going to be bad. But yes, if it's a hurricane, rainy, sleety.
That doesn't add to the atmosphere.
No. Just be able to close it.
Yeah, and they can do that now. That's one of the gifts of engineering. Patrick Mahomes. Mike called this one. He said he thought he might have a pretty good game against Houston. How about 5 incomplete passes on 41 passes?
What I did not project in my game script was those rascally Houston Texans.
They are.
They did it again. Like, this was, if you didn't watch it, you'll be like, well, yeah, I assume that the Chiefs blew out the Texans.
No.
It was a very competitive game the entire way through.
Didn't it go to overtime?
Yes. Okay,
I mean,
they
took them to overtime. That's crazy. Now, I know a lot of people. Is it the Titans that we've been stashing for next week?
That's correct. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter. They're saying, well, do I stop targeting the Houston Texans? I have my thoughts on that, which is they play in Tennessee and then at home again against Jacksonville. I'm not targeting the Jacksonville defense in Houston. But I am happy to play Tennessee.
Yeah, I think I still roll Houston.
Do you disagree
Tennessee.
With that take?
No, I mean, that's currently where I'm at. I have.
Yeah, I saw you do. You have Tennessee's defense.
I have Tennessee's defense, and I've got the Philadelphia Eagles. So.
I've seen that exact question on Twitter. So what are you going to do between those two? Because the
starting,
Eagles play Dallas.
Right, exactly. And for that reason specifically, I'm gonna play Tennessee.
Okay. What else do we got? We got Kirk Cousins, the miracle man himself. Quarterback 8 on the year now after this massive comeback. He looked downright disgusting in the first half.
I mean, 460-4, that's in the second half.
Yes, he threw two interceptions in this game, a real uggo one in the first half.
Well, they were both of them, I don't know if you guys realize this, both interceptions were to Jalen Reagor.
Oh, yeah, both
and
where he stopped.
They both, like, the reason that Jalen Reagor was there for both of those plays was because Justin Jefferson got knocked off the field.
I blame coaches for that.
Right.
Please don't, like, the play that Justin Jefferson goes out, maybe you run it.
Right. Run the ball. Over the last 2 weeks for Kirk Cousins, he is on pace for 7,522 passing yards. So that's pretty good.
When's his next primetime game?
Watch
out.
I mean, well,
technically it was a primetime game, so good job.
It's an island game.
Yeah, but it was a morning game.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to be in the...
I mean, the idiom of, like, you know, fading under the lights, you know what I mean? When the bright lights hit you, that's the key. He's got really sensitive vision.
So, like, sunrise is not a bright light
A stadium, no.
Okay.
No, you can't see the sun right then.
Because of the big stadium wall.
Yeah. Learn about science, Mike. Trevor Lawrence, buddy. Woo. Buddy, 4 touchdowns. Amazing victory for Jacksonville. Really the most impressive one on the year. Battled back. They were down big in the third quarter. Zay Jones went crazy. Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence is now the quarterback 6 on the year. The Jets in New York next week, then Houston, then Tennessee.
Man.
There's a chance Trevor Lawrence is a key cog in a championship roster. I know those matchups are not a cakewalk, but there were opportunities for Jared Goff against the Jets down the field. I mean, he missed Jameson Williams on an easy touchdown. He ended up with the long, ridiculous touchdown to Mike's brother.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence has been interesting.
Trevor Lawrence has been very good. Over the last 9 weeks, there's only 2 games where he hasn't been a quarterback one. He's been playing well. The spot start, Zay Jones, we'll talk about him in a minute, has been awesome. He's got weapons to throw the ball to, and the team has been
Do you realize
getting it
their
together.
Situation?
Yeah, we talked about this on the footcast. It's about next year?
No, this year.
Okay, lay it out.
They control their own destiny.
To the playoffs now?
To the division title.
Because they play Tennessee in week 18.
They're one game out. Tennessee's got a banged up quarterback. They haven't figured things out.
Tennessee, I think, has lost 4 games in a row. That is very not Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
But just for the long-term outlook here of Trevor Lawrence, he's been spectacular. The turnaround has been massive. I mean, we all were – when you were watching Trevor Lawrence last year, you were really, really hoping that this was not Lawrence's fault. It was Urban Meyer's fault. I think that you can put a lot of that blame now directly to Urban Meyer and his coaching staff and their decisions. But we were talking with Jay on the footcast of remembering – this team traded for Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
If Calvin Ridley has anything left, like I'm not even going to say if he could come back and be a top 12 fantasy wide receivers. If he's just
be something.
Just be a wide receiver 3.
Be better than Marvin Jones, which shouldn't be hard to do.
This team with Kirk Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley and ETN, like they're really, really interesting.
They didn't even mention Schmevin.
Yeah, and yes, Schmevin.
We try not to. We keep that on the...
Hey, you're going to have to read about him later.
Oh, my.
He made it in, baby.
So, just for the record, we looked this up this morning. Zay Jones is under contract for 2 more years as well.
Yeah, they just picked him up. He was kind of like
a 3-year deal.
He was a cheapie.
Trevor Lawrence, big game. Go Jacksonville. Boy, I'd love to see a couple of cats in the playoffs.
Sure.
Jacksonville, Detroit. All right, Joe Burrow. How did he end up here after that first half? I don't know.
It was called the gift of short fields.
It was the dream. Like, if you had Joe Burrow, you were watching that first half, it was a disaster. In the second half, they came out and turned the ball over 4 consecutive times. Short fields turned into touchdowns. Only threw for 200 yards.
He couldn't have thrown for more. Yeah. He threw for all of the yards. They didn't give him many yards to be able to acquire.
He tried to go backwards on that one sack to pick up some extra yards.
Smart, Joe.
Justin Fields.
Ooh, baby.
14 for 21, just 152 yards. Must have been a horrible game, right?
Yeah, of course.
Almost 100 rushing yards because he's Justin Fields.
And then that's not correct with – oh, he had 2 passing touchdowns. There we go. I thought that was listed as interceptions.
Nope.
Dak got it done. Jason started the week.
Yeah, big game.
256 and 3. Philly next week.
That's going to be
– dun, dun, dun.
Such an amazing game. I mean, just – the actual everything on the line, and I really need the Cowboys
defenses.
To win.
Really good defenses.
I'm so scared of the Eagles. Like, is anybody else worried?
I know what you're getting into here, which is we were talking about it this weekend, just the idea that, you know, certain teams, if they've clinched their spot and they're not battling for something, there's risk to workloads for key players.
Even in week 17. Like, obviously in week 18, that's why we don't play fantasy championships in week 18, because there are always a handful of your best players and the best teams that are sitting waiting for the playoffs because everything's clinched. I'm worried that the Eagles are so dominant this year and have the one loss, so it's not like they're going for history or anything, that week 17 is going to come around. I'm in my championship and they play a half.
I would be less concerned about the quarterback in week 17 than I would workloads for running backs. So my concern is that, like, the 49ers, if they don't have anything to gain, is that a situation you're giving Christian McCaffrey 20 plus carries?
No.
That's concerning. But I don't think you're going to lose Jalen Hurts unless they're dominating the very game they're in, which would be because of Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your encouragement.
Okay, thank you.
And then Derek Carr, I guess, ends up in the studs this week. What's the line of the Philadelphia-Dallas game?
It's Dallas minus two, which is kind of shocking.
Dallas is at home.
I get it.
Yeah, I mean, you find it. You thought Philly'd be favored?
I mean, I thought it'd be a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Dallas is coming off of two losses in a row, right?
They are. No, they beat Houston.
Yeah, we just felt like they lost.
Oh, that's right. They did win at the very end against the Texans.
All right, you ready for some running back studs?
Yeah.
This is straight running back one.
Yeah.
Finishes in a row. Jerick McCaffrey. Oh, sorry, McKinnon. 8 targets, 8 for 70 and a touchdown, 10 for 52 and a touchdown. He was buoyed a little bit, snap count-wise, by the Isaiah Pacheco fumble for loss.
Right.
But McKinnon has had so much space to work with. And if you lost to Jerick McKinnon, it doesn't feel great.
Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, the Houston Texans, we've talked about it a lot, about the fact that, you know, the passing game doesn't work because you don't need to. And then they were up. Like, they're in this game. It's so funny that the Texans have, the last 2 weeks against great teams, just, they've come to play.
Yeah, McKinnon did it again. And that was us all day in the office yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, every target was McKinnon again.
Okay, now it makes more sense.
It's like when you have these, just, you have your own little, you know, quips, your own little catchphrases that you could throw out.
Yeah.
It makes the game a lot more fun.
Like if Dalvin Cook catches like a kind of like a screen, and then he goes down the field against you, and you're like, man, he's cooking.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Right into the end zone. I think you might have used a different four-letter word than cook.
Yeah. It sounded pretty similar.
I mean, Dalvin Cook was having a really tough luck game.
Yes.
4 goal to go from inside the 5 possessions where the Vikings did score.
Yeah. Dalvin should have had a record, like a record setting, an Alvin Kamara Christmas Day miracle.
Yeah,
That is honestly what Dalvin Cook should have done.
And CJ, he played great the whole game.
Yeah,
he didn't get the touchdowns. He was ripping off runs left, right, and center, getting them down to the goal line, and then still had a couple opportunities where he was given the ball and the chance to score just didn't happen to get in. Still ended up with an incredible game because of that last long receiving touchdown.
That was amazing. Derrick Henry, 21 for 104 and 1, 4 targets, including a big one down the sideline.
It was such a weird game for Derrick Henry where, I mean, dominant for fantasy purposes, still ends up with 21 carries. But watching the game of why in the world is Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball so much with a busted ankle? It was shocking to me seeing, like, this felt like a game that Derrick Henry should have carried the ball at least 25 to 30 times.
Last 2 weeks, obviously McKinnon counts as that running back, but Houston's given up 36 and 39 fantasy points, gets Derrick Henry next week, and they're at home in Tennessee. So,
and Henry's last forever games against the Houston Texans are comic. I mean, if you look at the box scores,
right?
Yeah, it's like 200 yards rushing basically every single week.
You better hope that Houston doesn't compete again and make Ryan Tannehill throw the ball too much.
My hope is that Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback to throw the ball.
Ooh, that'd be huge. Yeah.
You know, this is an ankle issue that kept him out for multiple weeks. And yes, he came back in the game and played, but we've talked about this. That happens sometimes where not able to go.
Did you hear what he said about his ankle too? On the pain scale? He said it was the maximum that you're allowed on the pain scale.
Wow.
Oh, man.
So if it's Malik Willis, you'd be really hurting your chances at – you want him to get down the field.
Exactly. No, you need the offense to be good to have touchdowns. And while you hope, like, oh, well, the entirety of the offense could be Derrick Henry, just give him the ball 35 times and whatever, I mean, that would
– he should be all right.
Yeah, he will be all right. But I want massive, big, giant things.
Of course. I mean, he's the Yeti. You expect nothing less.
It's his time.
Hey, how's Ramondre Stevenson's ankle doing?
I guess it's okay.
19 for 172.
You're talking about, not starter Ramondre Stevenson?
Finisher.
Yeah.
19 for 172 and a touchdown. Damian Harris, if you saw it, I'm sure you did. Mike was talking about it on Sunday Live. Out again with the thigh injury. Not ready to come back. Next week, Ramondre gets Cincinnati, then Miami to finish the year. He's lined up. I mean, Damian Harris, if he returns, is not going to eat in more than I think Kevin Harris and these other guys did. Do you guys disagree? I mean, Ramondre showed what he could do.
He's pretty locked in for the year.
Yeah,
probably shouldn't have lateraled it to Jacoby Myers.
Oh, man. That play is an all-timer. It's just the stupidest. If you didn't see it, this game was headed to overtime.
Oh, man.
The Patriots had done what so many teams had done before, which is allow the Raiders to collapse from a large lead. And then Jacoby Myers throws a touchdown pass to the other team.
He was going for Mac Jones.
Oh, my God. Why would you even throw the ball to Mac Jones?
I don't know.
Mac Jones can't break tackles, can't throw the ball.
There's a long ways down the field to do that, too. He said after the game, and he, you know, a lot of credit to Jacoby Myers, took full accountability, said that in the huddle they said, just run the ball and go down. So this was all improvised by the players.
So Ramondre's fault. I gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, and Jacoby said,
he started it.
Said, quote, I saw Mac Jones and thought he was open.
And then Chandler Jones sent Mac Jones
is anybody
to
else,
the nether.
I thought I was locked in on that almost upset. And then the Keelan Cole foot looked out of bounds.
Now, see, I'm not.
That would have ended the game.
The Keelan Cole call, I mean, we don't. The refs over the course of this weekend, they got some things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The Keelan Cole catch is tough because the best shot of it was at an angle.
Overhead, yeah.
Like, it's the overhead, but it's coming from an angle where you experience this all the time in life where, like, your angle of viewing distorts where an object actually is. So I agree. From that view, it looked like it, but from other ones, it looked like it was in.
Did you hear what they said after the game about that? The actual NFL officiating team came and said that it was inconclusive.
Yeah.
And therefore, if it had been called not a touchdown, it would have stayed not a touchdown. They said there was just not enough evidence to change the call on the field, which is the right way to do it. Like, that is the rule. If you feel like it's not clear and obvious, then it's got to go with the call.
Well, it's just funny when you have reviews. It's obviously like, the reviews are relevant because if you can't, it's the call that's made on the field. It's the live call that ends up winning when it's non-conclusive, right?
Yes.
So it was a close one, and it was a great catch. I'm not taking anything away from Derek Carr and Keelan Cole. It was just, I'm staring at it.
Yeah.
And I still am shocked.
It's one of those things of like how, if this is part of your procedure, is when a call is challenged, you go check out all the cameras. How is this the best camera angle that you have?
Find more cameras, NFL.
They were asked if they had a down the line shot on that play, and they did not, which to your point is what?
Yeah, how are there not, like, don't rely just on the television cameras. Have a couple cameras throughout the stadium that are just there for review.
Yeah, I mean, just,
you're not gonna break the bank.
Put them in
NFL.
All, put them in all the pylons, go in both directions.
Maybe we can, like, buy some cameras for them. Right, these don't have to be broadcast cameras. They just have, like,
do we have the catch child available to us?
Oh.
I mean, this would have helped this situation.
I think he would have called it a catch.
Yeah.
Al, you're sending us pictures of this, the shots that you have. Make the call. Be the catch child today.
He's out.
Okay. All right, well. It is crazy because, like you said, a couple more cameras. Like, it's reasonable to say that this cost New England the playoffs if he was really out and we don't know.
Yeah,
but I mean,
play better.
Can't afford more cameras. No, we can't do that. Other studs this week worth mentioning: David Montgomery, Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah, baby,
17 for 139 against New Orleans. Very impressive. Baltimore next week in Baltimore. Not that excited about that.
Nope.
David Montgomery has Mr. Buffalo.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And his one of his touchdowns was also, you know, a little bit of a gift because it looked like Fields had scored on that drive on an incredible.
Oh my goodness! One of the best replays. That is not an actual highlight, but on the live call, is it looked like it was a touchdown, and he, I don't know how many tackles he broke on that run. Like
a lot.
Five.
We were talking yesterday about how Justin Fields takes one stride, and that's where Kyler would have three strides.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, he doesn't ever look like he's going as fast as he's going because he takes these long steps, and then he's faster than everybody. Latavius Murray.
Yeah, baby.
24 for 130 and one.
I hope you jumped in the dumpster with me.
Mike, start of the week. Very nice, Mike. You're the guy that recommended Latavius Murray.
Hey. I hope it won some weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some Latavius Murray, Zay Jones teams that had had a good time this weekend.
James Conner still got into the end zone. Raheem Mostert had a big day without scoring. 17 for 136, almost got down the sideline for a 70-plus yard run. Najee Harris scored again and has really...
He's looked so much better.
Yeah, he's come on in the second half of the year. It tends to lend itself to the... was injured narrative a little bit.
And I think, it's basically a lost fantasy season here for Najee to come through on his draft capital. But at least we can have some hope going into next year. Because if he had finished, if the second half was the same as the first half, Najee would be a dead zone running back. You'd have no idea what to do with him. But he has looked, in my opinion, he has looked faster. He has looked more decisive. I mean, his touchdown run with just a vintage Najee Harris stiff arm of get off me, I'm scoring this touchdown. I'm hopeful for the future.
He's looked much better, no question. And it's on a team that still has not a lot of passing threats, so things could improve for him. What if he catches passes again someday?
Sure.
Let's talk about the spot start himself, which thank goodness I called him that. 8 targets, 6 for 109. 3 touchdowns.
Oh, baby.
Zay Jones. He has 3 out of 4 top 10 finishes over the last month. Plays the Jets next week. Are you riding?
Oh, man.
Are you playing the spot start next week?
I can't even think about it right now.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
So playing against the Jets is so difficult.
It is, and it's in New York.
Like, did... And I know Goff missed, but I mean, it's part of the defense getting you shook so you don't hit on your opportunities. No one from the Lions had an actual impactful fantasy game. Swift was fine. Like, where did Amon-Ra end up?
Amon-Ra was okay.
He was okay, right?
Yeah, he was 11.7 fantasy points, 7 for 76, no touchdown.
Yeah, it's okay. So at
But that's the guy who is a star. Amon-Ra is a bona fide star, is the guaranteed number one target of this offense.
That's what you're hoping for from Zay next week. Yeah. 7 for 76.
Yeah. So that'll be a fun decision.
Yeah, and Goff, I mean, to talk back to, Trevor Lawrence, Goff this last week had a bad game, and that includes basically a giant broken.
Like a 60-yarder or something.
Yeah.
60-yard
I didn't
touchdown.
See that Zay touchdown.
The Zay touchdown?
Yeah, the long one.
No, we're talking about the Jared Goff. Jared Goff's fantasy finish of where he is includes one huge broken play. That saved Jared Goff from being a complete disaster.
Yeah, that including that massive basically bomb touchdown, even though it was a screen.
Yeah.
He finished with 14 fantasy points, including that play.
And they won.
Yeah, they did.
Go Lions.
KJ Osborne had a game, 10 for 157 and 1. Justin Jefferson is great, as is A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, as are A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. A.J. Brown had 16 targets. Devontae Smith had 8 of them. Incredible performances by both.
Dallas Goedert's coming. He's coming for your targets, Devontae.
Don't you put that evil on us.
I mean, they have 2 number one receivers. That's what it comes down to.
Yes, they do.
They're both number ones. Chris Godwin, 8 targets, 8 for 83 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Mike Evans.
Oh, no.
10 targets, 5 for 83.
When you were doing your touchdown guarantee, which is, it's mystical in nature, I felt like you didn't have a conversation with your spirits before you fell backed into the corner of having to support Mike Evans.
There's a lot of spirits
which
around
that's
right
an okay
now
game.
Like Christmas spirit is around.
Sure.
So I might have gotten that a little bit.
You got your wires crossed? Yeah.
The wires crossed a little.
I understand.
10 targets is nice. 83 yards is nice.
I think that was all in the first half.
Yeah, it wasn't a horrific game, but still.
Still the best fantasy day in weeks. Double digits for Mike Evans.
No touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, the funny thing is if he had gotten in, I mean, over the last 5 years, if you had to put money, dollars down on any wide receiver in football to potentially score a touchdown during a given week, Mike Evans is at the tippy top of the list of all the players.
Because 14 touchdowns last year, 13 touchdowns the year prior, 3 so far this season.
He plays Arizona next week.
Okay, he's scoring next week.
I mean, he has to be, right?
Probably.
Right, Jason? Are we getting it? We need it.
Yes, we are, baby!
Are you willing to make it a touchdown guarantee?
Absolutely. It is a touchdown guarantee against Arizona. Of that, I am sure.
Noah Brown scored twice. CeeDee Lamb, big game. Jaylen Waddle.
One big play.
Yeah, it was nice, though. He looked good, like his speed on a couple of these plays. Tyreek Hill, 9 for 69 and a touchdown. No matter how long the game goes with Tyreek Hill not being relevant, he always ends up relevant. And then Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd all scored touchdowns after turnovers.
Yep.
Michael Pittman, PPR special, 10 for 60. Deontay Johnson, 10 for 98.
Yeah, he was being force-fed targets to the demise of the Muth.
George Kittle led the way at the tight end position. Dawson Knox, huge game.
How dare you skip the name before Dawson Knox.
Juwan Johnson.
Put some respect on Juwan Johnson's name. All he does, he wants to talk about guys who catch touchdowns.
He looks good. He looks over 1,000 times better than Troutman ever did.
Hey, trust the process.
Dawson Knox, though, interesting.
Yes.
Against Chicago, he looks really good right now.
He
6 for 98 and 1. You can't – not every tight end can do that, right? The athleticism to go 6
agreed.
For 98
yeah.
and a touchdown. Saw him played in our league of record this week.
I think you just go back to it.
I think you're fine playing him next week against Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, with 3 of the past 5 games, he's been at least a top 6 tight end, but the ones where he was not, he finished with a grand total of 2.7 fantasy points combined in those 2 games.
Who would you rather play between Dawson Knox and Juwan Johnson?
Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
That would seem pretty easy. I mean, Juwan Johnson's been...
I love Juwan Johnson, and I legit think that he is a... In the world of tight ends, where you're like, please give me a touchdown.
Yeah.
He's in your higher probability
His
players.
Touchdown was awesome, too.
But which one? Which one of his 2?
The one that was...
Where he stretched like Superman?
Yes.
Yeah, that was called not a touchdown on the field.
But it's like, give me Josh Allen.
Sure, yeah.
That's the tiebreaker.
That's a pretty good tiebreaker.
I thought you just meant you'd take Josh Allen over Juwan Johnson, like straight up.
Yeah, for sure. That's what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
And
good advice, once again.
So say we all.
Travis Kelce was 10 for 105, and I was kind of bummed by the performance.
Understandable.
Darren Waller, back into the end zone.
Yep.
He'll be he'll be in lineups next week.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Engram.
Schmevin.
10 targets, 8 for 62. I didn't even realize this line. That's why I didn't know which section. That's Evan Engram for you.
Yeah.
I you're watching a lot of games. I was with my family this week, and we're watching Red Zone. I didn't have all the screens up. So I wasn't glued in onto how many receptions Evan Engram had.
Oh, man.
And when you said we're going to talk about him later, I had absolutely no idea which section he was in.
Yeah, but he snuck in 10 fantasy points, which in the fantasy tight
fantastic.
End position is.
Oh, yeah. Gourmet.
Yeah.
All right. That was the Suds of the Week presented by Madewell. Don't wait to upgrade your denim game. Go to madewell.com today and get $20 off your next pair of jeans. Use the code FOOTBALLERS20. Yeah, Schmevin, man.
You know who we didn't talk about in the studs who was a stud? Jahan Dotson.
Oh, man. I tried to talk you into him.
I was with you.
Dude, yeah. Like, he is so good.
He's talent.
His touchdown just leaving the defender just in smoke.
His go up and I'll take
and,
that.
Yes, and the
61-yarder.
The 60-yard catch, which looked like an impossibility when the ball was in the air. And Jahan Dotson, not only did he catch it, it was easy. Like, he one hand just brought it in. There was no bobbling. It was just, that's my ball.
All right, let's ruin the moment then. Terry McLaurin or Jahan Dotson next year?
Ooh.
Terry McLaurin.
Who's the quarterback?
It's going to be Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah. Taylor Heinicke.
Is it?
I think so.
I mean, it would be natural to have, like, Jahan Dotson.
Heinicke'd yesterday.
Is going to continue to ascend and mature. There is a world where, you know, I know that Elijah Moore didn't have quite the run that Terry McLaurin did. But from an athletic standpoint, there's a world where Jahan Dotson is the Garrett Wilson of that equation.
Sure.
And to say Heinicke'd, he tied the game. Like, that.
Yeah, that was some BS.
That was the most BS. Have you heard?
I watched it.
Have you heard Terry McLaurin after the game? His comments on what happened
on the when the ref told him that he was good.
Yes. So
and he gave a thumbs up to the ref.
Yeah. There was a play where if you didn't see it, they're going down to try to tie the game. They needed a touchdown and 2-point conversions. Them being the Washington Commanders, and they get down to somewhere around like the 5-yard line or so, and they have a play and they score a touchdown. Incredible. The game is going to go tied and they're going to go for two, and then there's a flag on the play, and the flag is for an irrelevant. Terry McLaurin is not lined up on the ball.
Right.
He's lined up just a little too
legal
far away.
Legal formation.
Yeah. Yep.
And then if you watch the play, he points to the ref. The ref tells him to move up. He moves up. Points to the ref and basically gets it all good.
Yeah,
he said afterwards,
a thumbs up to the ref.
Yeah, he said this is where I lined up literally all game, and I asked the ref. He told me to move up. I asked him again. He said I was good, and then he got a flag on it. Like insanity.
Yeah,
and then that followed up by a really bad PI call. And again, you know, these games don't come down to just one call. You know, there's missed calls on both sides throughout the game, but egregious end to that game. I know that. The Washington fans were very upset, and they need those refs from the World Cup final. Those guys were awesome,
excellent.
But I don't know if they know. You know, well, I guess they know football.
Football.
All right, let's move on.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
If you needed somebody to go up,
man,
from the crowd. And read your eulogy for your fantasy team. Justin Herbert just took the paper from your hands, and he decided, I will read it for you.
I got this. Oh, man.
They were a good team, he said.
The matchup was perfect. And Justin Herbert did not throw a touchdown and was devastating.
Multiple interceptions.
Devastating for fantasy purposes.
But he didn't have his weapons.
But he had his weapons.
But he did have his weapons.
Yeah.
Tennessee was the, 31st, 32nd in terms of pass funnel, terrible giving up yardage. Mike Williams, we're not going to use him today.
I mean, this is a rough year for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, this Justin Herbert performance sums up the year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, his like, obviously, Jonathan Taylor probably was the most destructive for week one of fantasy, but that's not his fault. This one is like Herbert let you down in an unbelievable way.
Yes,
8 fantasy points at the quarterback position
from
Justin Herbert, who I was going back and forth. Like, who do I like more, Jalen Hurts or Justin Herbert as the quarterback one this week?
I was singularly knocked out by Justin Herbert this week.
Like, I'm sure many were.
As my quarterback. So I am with you, Foot Clan. If you leaned on him, this was a case of everything looking great on paper and not ending up that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at home too.
Yes.
So just,
I mean, he threw for 300 yards and they scored, but it was rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, they won.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, this is a separation a little bit from fantasy to reality.
Eckler got in for the touchdown.
Yeah, and did Joshua Kelly get a touchdown as well?
Yep.
I mean, he did. Obviously, interception's bad, but he wasn't terrible. It's just for fantasy, he was terrible.
He was okay. I mean, he ended up with 300 yards, but on the...
What an interception, by the way, at the end of the half.
Sure.
That was awesome.
Yeah, the Titans.
Yeah, where they caught it out of bounds and threw it in.
The old tip drill. But, like, I mean, he picked up, you know, at least 60 passing yards on that on the final drive to just the playing against the prevent, trying to go down and kick the field goal. So he just...
Win the game.
It was not a good game.
I agree.
In my opinion, by Justin Herbert. And... As disappointing as he was at the quarterback position, to me, Miles Sanders against the Chicago Bears, where running backs are just destroying them for fantasy purposes, for real life NFL purposes. He didn't touch the ball until like midway through the second quarter, He finishes with 11 for 42, had a fumble. It was mind-boggling that the plan did not involve him more. And so this one to me, like, he was in my DraftKings lineup because it was, he's one of the best plays of the week. He's great. He's got the matchup. And it did not happen. It was devastating.
He did get two carries inside the five-yard line. Obviously, they did not turn into touchdowns, and a massive disappointment.
Joe Mixon was awful.
Yeah.
For fantasy players. Zonovan Knight, awful. Deonta Foreman, worse than awful. He was a single-point player.
Yeah, the we have a family league where we manage some teams with our kids and everything. The league that I manage, or the team I manage, I should say, with my son, we snuck into the playoffs. Our running backs this week, Jonathan Taylor and Deonta Foreman.
So you got like 2 points?
Yeah.
Are you out?
More than likely.
Okay, that's impressive. Yeah. That's an impressive answer.
Yeah.
My son, I believe, needs needs 6 points from Aaron Jones.
Yep.
Jamal Williams, also a dud. And then Rashad White, this one was a huge bummer.
Yes.
Just 2 targets in this game. He had more carries than Fournette by one, but Fournette had 4 targets.
Yeah, I mean,
and this team fell apart. They suck.
They do suck. And what's crazy is
the Succaneers.
We got them.
Very nice.
Busted.
what was crazy is the beginning of this game was like, hey,
yeah.
Are the Bucks back?
Yep.
Or did they figure something out?
I instantly thought in the first half going like, oh my gosh, Brady's going to do it again in the playoffs. That's what I thought.
Yeah, and then collapse-a-potamus.
So wait, they lost, the Falcons lost, the Panthers lost, right?
It's a gross division, but the Saints are still in it. Yeah.
The only reason the Saints won is because they played against the division.
Because they played against Ritter, and they, like, that game came down to the wire.
Yeah.
Against Ritter, who I believe, check the box score, I don't think he threw for 100 yards.
It was not a good first performance.
No. Well, let's move on to wide receiver duds, and I'm gonna blitz these a little bit. Tell me if you're worried about next week. That's the headline for
sure.
People don't need to dwell anymore on the sadness of this week. If they made it through with these players, are you worried? Davante Adams.
Nope.
No.
Stephon Diggs.
No.
Gabe Davis.
It's not so bad.
What about Chris Olave?
I am worried.
Sure.
Cleveland next week.
I am worried about Chris Olave because it's been a stretch of less production and fewer snaps. Like, I don't know why, but he has...
Rashid Shaheed is awesome,
he's
by
legit.
The way.
Yeah.
He's really
that
good.
That dude's so fast.
Who's got him in Dynasty?
Oh, man. But... But the last – I'm looking at his offensive snap percentage, Chris Olave, and the last month, 49, 67, 69, and 49% of snaps.
What?
Which I don't know why that has happened. You know, prior to that, 77, 90% of snaps. So
what if I could interest you in the an over-under of 33.5 points against Cleveland next week?
You could – that's not right.
Yes, it is.
That's the opening line.
That is not –
33.
That's not.
It's been bet down from 34.5 earlier today, but yeah, it's 33.5 right now.
What?
Have
you seen the Saints offense? Have you seen Deshaun Watson playing?
They're considering doing just a knee to knee offense, like back and forth, knees, punt.
You have me very uninterested.
I am also scared of Mike Williams.
What happened yesterday
at Indianapolis next week? It could be fine, but Big Mike.
Yeah.
When does he show up? When does he not?
He shows up to win the game at the end.
Yeah. 4 for 67.
Two of his receptions were on that final comeback.
Which, great. I mean, you salvaged a little bit from Mike.
I would keep playing him.
Hollywood?
You got to be worried.
If it's McSorley, you bail out.
Yeah. Amari Cooper, 4 for 58.
I mean, he's still dealing with the hip injury.
But can I interest you in 33-point over-under?
Jacoby Myers, 2 for 47, 6 targets.
I mean,
I'm okay with Myers against Cincinnati next week. I actually
PPR maybe.
I don't mind it.
I feel so bad for him. I know it was his fault, but I just, as a human,
yes.
Can we hit the button for Mark Andrews?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. I feel like he is the Mike Evans of the tight end position right now. and we're still.
You hit the button twice, didn't you?
Look, I told him. I told him last time. If he doesn't take that away from me, I'm not going to reprogram not hitting the ending button.
Oh man, the lights are just still going.
This is 100% on Al. I'm not taking any responsibility whatsoever. I warned him.
Owl came to us. He's like, guys, I got these big ideas for lighting upgrades.
Yes, but you will have to.
But they come with instructions.
The way that your brain works for the whole show.
I want to
choose how long the panic alarm goes. Al, do you hear me?
I hear you.
I might want it to run for half an hour.
Since the bye week for Mark Andrews, which was in week 10,
yeah.
So he's had five games.
Let's read these out.
Since the bye week, he has not had a touchdown. And, I mean, you're talking, here's his fantasy points on a weekly basis. 9.3, 9, okay, whatever, you know, that's tight end. 7.4, 2.7, 4.6.
Yeah, the games with Huntley have been,
I mean, none of these are Mark Andrews numbers. That's
no.
The headline.
And he's
not a difference maker in any way right now.
And he was phenomenal to start the year. I mean, the you know, you look at the first up through week six, he only had one bad performance, had several amazing performances. It looked at that point in the season, 6 weeks in, that he was the pick to have over Kelsey.
Yeah.
And then he got injured in week eight. And then you've lost Lamar, so you've got to be worried, and you need Lamar back, and I don't know if Lamar's going to be back this week.
So if Lamar's not back, because this matters, and I know we'll talk more about it during the week and during waivers, but are you playing like Dawson Knox in a plus matchup against Chicago?
Oh, my gosh.
Over trying to – I mean, this is exactly like Mike Evans' situation. This is where, except for you have a worse quarterback, so you can actually be more predictive on –
Atlanta Falcons is the matchup coming up, which is a great matchup for tight ends in general, and he's still getting the targets. 7 targets.
So you just stay with Andrews?
I would stay with Andrews. I mean, it sucks to have to go through bad stretches.
Yeah, Dawson Knox might be too low down the
probability.
But Evan Engram right now, the way he's playing with his targets?
Evans' floor has to be safer.
That's what I think, too. Baltimore got smashed.
What a world.
I mean, they got absolutely destroyed.
They put up 3 points.
Yeah, that's not a lot. Not enough. Pat Freiermuth. Think he's healthy? I don't.
No, it was the impossible situation of...
Zero targets.
And he was out there, at least for some of the game. I don't know his actual snap percentage, but you saw him running routes. He missed multiple days with the foot injury and then gets the – but then coming into the game, it's no injury designation. And it's like I don't know at this point. It's like, what do you do those situations?
He played 56% of the snaps, which
he's been
exactly
playing, yeah.
The last 2 weeks prior to that was 55%, 56%, now another 56%. And obviously we've seen him be okay for fantasy in those previous.
I think you got to bail out.
Yeah, for sure. Are you worried? Here's the list. Dalton Schultz.
No.
Cole Kmet.
I'm not worried because he is what he is, which is a
Hockenson?
Streamer.
No, nine targets again. I'm fine with Hockenson. But I do think it is worth saying Hockenson sucks. Like
he keeps dropping balls.
He's a really, really, really good player who has some mental governor in his brain that just makes him...
The hawk strap.
Play poorly. He has so much opportunity to be outstandingly great, and he makes problems for himself over and over and over and over, and it hasn't gone away this long into a career.
You sound like you're describing Evan Engram in New York. That literally sounds like the description of Evan Engram in New York. Greg Dulcich, 2 targets, 1 catch.
And yet, Eric Tomlinson, the other tight end, 3 for 28 with a score, so the process was correct of chasing the tight end against Arizona, but Brett Rypien preferred not the starting tight end.
For a brief portion of Sunday, the Patriots had tied Arizona with the most touchdowns given up to the tight end position. Arizona said, "We got this."
Yeah.
They gave
That's
up
our record.
They gave up 2. None to Dulcich. Makes him real sketch moving forward the way that this offense is playing. Gerald Everett, 4 for 42.
Yeah, he is who he is at this point.
Njoku, man, I can't. It's so different to say it that way.
Oh, I have really struggled.
So we're trying to make just, you know, let's peel back the curtain.
Sure.
Trying to make the transition from Njoku to Njoku.
And the problem is
because
what
we've heard it change.
What your tongue has to do is like complete opposite. So if you start, especially if it's David, you're so used to saying David in Njoku, and my tongue's in the
wrong
spot.
I'm not sure I'm willing to make the change.
It's like, I tried.
We'll get there.
I gave it an hour.
This is normally when we lean on a nickname.
Oh, so that's a good point.
Be thinking about it.
Okay.
I don't have one right now.
Will do.
All right. We are going to we're going to shut it down. We'll be back with waivers, streamers on tomorrow's show. And, boy, it's going to be a big week. I'm excited.
Yeah. It's not done. Like,
I know.
There's a lot of important fantasy pieces going tonight.
May all of your important pieces do well, your opponents do poorly.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the evening.
We will see you in the morning, Foot Clan. Enjoy the game. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.